For many people, they stop volunteering. The reason is this: they are not serving God. They are serving people. They are serving organizations. And if you are disappointed with your leaders, you will stop volunteering. My friend, don't do that. You volunteer to serve God, not to serve people. We continue our series on our core values. The first one is love God, love one another. What is our core value? Love. Love God, love one another. If you love God, love one another, what will happen? You will obey. So the second one is, if you love God, you will obey God's word and you will obey authorities. And today, what will we discuss? Volunteer. What enters your mind when you think of the word volunteer? Volunteer. Everybody read. To offer one's time, skills, or services willingly without payment. Driven by personal commitment or desire to contribute. You have the word service. What is the opposite of volunteer? To be compelled, required to perform a task, often with compensation or under obligation. The topic today, which I believe God wants all of us to develop as CCFers, as believers, is volunteer, serve God joyfully. Let me share with you why it is important to be joyful. Deuteronomy chapter 28 tells us, everybody, read together. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart. For the abundance of all things, therefore, you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you, in hunger, thirst, nakedness, in the lack of all things. Do you realize God expects us to serve Him? How? Joyfully. Just to give you some ideas. Secular voluntarism. You seek recognition. Biblical voluntarism. You seek God's glory. Secular voluntarism. You pick and choose. Certain things you like to volunteer, certain things you don't like. Biblical voluntarism. You respond. You respond to needs. When you see a need, you do something about it. Commitment with conditions. This is a servant heart. No precondition. As God calls you, you surrender. You submit. Many times. I'm not saying secular voluntarism is bad. I'm not saying it's bad. But I'd like you to go beyond secular voluntarism. I praise God for secular voluntarism. But I'd like you to go beyond. Don't just volunteer because the work is glamorous or you'll be noticed. Big or small, if there's a need, we volunteer. Look at the model of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 20, let's read this. Jesus wants you to have eternal perspective. Let's read this together. It is not this way among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. Nothing wrong with wanting greatness. But what kind of greatness? Real greatness. What is real greatness? To be great in the eyes of God. It's eternal. According to Jesus, if you want to be great, what must you do? You shall be a servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. It's very counterintuitive. Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served, to give his life a ransom for many. What's the message today, ladies and gentlemen? Serve God joyfully. Notice, volunteer, you serve God, meaning serve His agenda, serve His purpose through good works. Serve Him joyfully. Why do people not volunteer? Number one, for most people, lack of what? Time. Ladies and gentlemen, is this the real reason why most people don't volunteer? Lack of time? Yes or no? How many of you have this problem? You don't volunteer because you lack time. Raise your hand. I forgive you, no problem. My friend, listen to me. Lack of time is a myth. Let me repeat. When a husband tells his family, tells his wife, I don't have time for you, it's a myth. You know why it's a myth? You have time. The only problem is it is not your priority. The only problem is it is not important. You will have time for something important. If God is important, you will have time. Attending small group, you will have time. Attending Sunday service, you will have time. But if you don't think it's important, you will not have time. Honestly, I don't have time for what is not important to me. But I will have time for what is important to me. Amen? Another reason, lack of what? Talent. Some people say, well, it won't make any difference. We can all serve God. Serving God does not require talent. It requires willingness. Next, lack of what? Opportunity. My friend, to be a servant, you have opportunities left and right all the time. Another excuse, disappointed with leadership. This is a big problem. For many people, they stop volunteering. The reason is this, they are not serving God. They are serving people. They are serving organizations. And if you are disappointed with your leaders, you will stop volunteering. My friend, don't do that. You volunteer to serve God, not to serve people. What else? Ignorance. The truth is this. Many of us do not know that God wants you to volunteer. Many of us don't see needs because you're isolated. Have this mindset. Because by nature, I am selfish. By nature, I think of myself. And that is how you become miserable. Selfish people are miserable people. They only think of their own needs. No shortcut. You want to be a joyful person based on research. Be a blessing to others. Think of others. This is something you need to learn. Friend, you want to learn to be emotionally healthy, to be joyful? Listen to this message. Volunteer. By serving God, you will serve people. Are you serving people today? Romans chapter 12. Let's begin with verse 1. Foundation of service. Together, let's read. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies living, holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Ladies and gentlemen, notice the word therefore. Every time you have the word therefore, what does it mean? You look at the previous verses. Therefore, what is the Apostle Paul talking about? He is talking about in view of God's mercies, in view of God's grace. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. You will understand the mercies of God. You will understand the grace of God if you understand what is therefore before. Romans chapter 1 to chapter 11 is all about the grace of God. The most doctrinally written in a systematic order is the book of Romans. You want to know theology? You look at Romans, chapter 1 to 16. Chapter 1 to chapter 12 talks about the grace of God. For example, let's look at how it is written. In Romans chapter 1 to 3, it talks about the sinfulness of man. The sinfulness of man is the root problem of humanity. Our problem is not poverty. Poverty is a byproduct of sinfulness. Our problem is not lack of education. You can have the most educated people and they're still a mess. Our problem is sin. What is sin? Sin is self-centeredness. Sin is self-will against God's will. Sin is saying, I want to do it my way and not God's way. I am not recognizing God as my Lord. I am my own boss. And that, my friend, is the root problem of humanity. We do not follow God. And because we don't follow God, we are a mess. So how do you solve that problem? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, 4, 5, it tells us what Jesus did for us. How he died on the cross to pay for your sins. My friend, you will not appreciate the book of Romans until you understand, I am a sinner, I need help. So Romans chapter 3, 4, 5 tells us, if you read the Bible, how Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins, how you are forgiven. But that's not enough. God's gift, God's grace, deals with not just salvation, sanctification. Romans chapter 6, 7, 8. Now that you are forgiven, how do you live a holy life? It's important. It's not enough to know you are forgiven. You need to learn how to overcome sin. So chapter 6, 7, 8 introduces the Holy Spirit, how you would have power to overcome selfishness. And then chapter 9, 10, 11 deals with the sovereignty of God, how grace is given sovereignly, meaning you cannot impose on God grace. It's all about God's sovereignty. God is in control of everything. And then after showing all of you, all of us, the grace of God, chapter 12, he now tells you, what is your responsibility? What must you do? Therefore, I urge you, brethren, talking to believers, ladies and gentlemen, until you experience the grace of God, you will not want to volunteer, you will not appreciate what I'm talking about. Let me repeat. If you have not experienced the grace of God in your heart, you will not have a heart to volunteer. Notice what it says, everybody. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, by the grace of God, by the love of God, to present your bodies living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. In other words, there are three words I'd like you to learn today when it comes to volunteer. The first word is the grace of God. Say that with me, the grace of God. The second word is the gratitude to God. Say that with me, gratitude to God. And the last word I want you to learn today is the gift of God. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 up to around verse 7, 8, it deals with the grace of God. How should you respond? The gratitude to God. And lastly, the gift of God. The gift of God is not only salvation. It gives you power, ability to serve. So let's begin with the grace of God. What does it mean? Let me define for you the grace of God, okay? So that you will volunteer joyfully. The grace of God simply means, how do you spell grace? G-R-A-C-E. G, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is not free. Christ paid for it, but it's free for me. It's free for you, but somebody paid. Who paid for it? Jesus. So what is grace? Before I show you all of this, I want you to read one verse for me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. Let's read that together. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works that no one can boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Notice, for by grace, something you don't deserve, you have been saved. Notice the grammar. You are saved. Past perfect tense. Not you may be saved. Not you shall be saved. You have been saved. Salvation is a certainty to those who have put their faith in Jesus by grace. So, for by grace you have been saved through faith. For you to understand grace, the Bible repeats, it is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You don't earn this, it's a gift, not as a result of works. Many times you try to earn salvation. It cannot be earned. It's a gift. It's too expensive. The price is too high. You can never earn your salvation because you cannot afford it. But good works come in. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So, God wants you to serve, but serving will not save you. So, what is grace? Let's go back to the chart. Grace means what? Number one, undeserved. Number two, unmerited. You cannot merit it. Unconditional. Do you know God saved you unconditionally? Uncoerced. Did you know nobody ever forced God to save us? God is never forced to do anything. Grace cannot be imposed upon God. God freely gives it, paid by Jesus. Now, once you and I understand grace, my friend, will it not give you a sense of gratitude? Yes or no? Once I understood the grace of God, how He saved me, how He forgave me, how I don't deserve forgiveness because I know I'm a sinner, I said, Lord, I thank You. And because of that, you know what I want to do? I want to show my gratitude. You know why? What is gratitude? Look at what John Stott said about good works. Good works are indispensable to salvation. Wow! Isn't that confusing? Not as its grounds or means. However, it is what? The consequence and evidence. Meaning, to serve Christ, to do good works, is the evidence of salvation. It is not the means. Are we clear? Serving is a byproduct of the grace of God. It is not the means to attain the grace of God. You see the difference? Salvation is by grace. You don't earn it, you don't deserve it. But once you experience the grace of God, it will change your heart. It will now make you want to serve. It will now help you change your life. Therefore, if you have no evidence of transformation from your heart, if you have no evidence, any desire to serve God, my friend, perhaps you have not understood grace. Perhaps you have not experienced salvation. If you have been living in sin, even after coming to Christ, you still continue to live in sin, there is no transformation, perhaps you have never been touched by the grace of God. Because the grace of God is never alone. It will transform you. The fact that you are struggling with sin tells me you have grace. Because a person does not struggle with sin, you don't struggle with immorality, you don't struggle with pornography. If you're not struggling, something's wrong with you. But the fact that you're struggling tells me something. You have experienced the grace of God and you love God. So let's look at that verse one more time. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Everybody read. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, what must you do? Out of gratitude, what must you do now? Present your bodies as living, holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. The word spiritual service of worship, you know what that means? Literally, in the Greek language, it is from the word logizomai. Logizomai means what? Logical, reasonable. So, to translate this verse, let me translate it for you. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your what? Logical, reasonable thing to do. And that's called worship. out of gratitude, God is saying, if you want to serve me, the first thing you do is to offer your body as a living and holy sacrifice. You see, many of us are so preoccupied with doing. We want to do this for God. We are full of activities. God is saying, hey, before you focus on activities, you focus on your relationship with me. Give me your body. Do you realize God cares about your body? We spiritualize things too much. God wants my soul. God wants my spirit. Yes, but God wants your body, your human body, as a holy sacrifice. God is saying, don't use your body for immorality. Don't use your body to do bad things. Give me your body as a living and holy sacrifice. You know what that means? Today, God is saying, you want to volunteer? First step, experience my grace. What I've done for you. Out of gratitude, what must you do now? Offer him your body. Offer him your life. Have you offered your life? I want you to read Galatians 2:20. Please read Galatians 2:20. I have been but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God and gave himself up for me. Do you notice I have been crucified with Christ? What does that mean? No longer I, but Christ. The problem with many of us, we have not died to self. We have not surrendered. You are full of self. I can be committed to something, but I'm still committed to myself. I'm still in control. I want you to change that. Surrender. What does it mean, surrender? When you surrender to God, everything He does, it's for Him. Let me give you an example. If you are in a ministry and somebody does something against you, you get hurt. Why do you get hurt? In all honesty, you get hurt because somebody did something against you. Yes or no? But if you are surrendered to God, if you have died to yourself, and somebody did something against you, you may be hurt, but it will not bother you too much. You know why? Because you say, no longer I. If you attack me, it's okay. No longer I, but Christ. You see, easier said than done. My wife and I, we've been married for 51 years. Praise, did you know we just celebrated our 51st anniversary last week? The reason why we can stay happily married, because my wife and I have committed, not just to the marriage. We have learned, no longer I, but Christ. If you live your life daily, wake up in the morning and you say, Lord, it's no longer I, but you. My friend, your life will be different. And that's how you volunteer. People ask me, how do you volunteer? You begin with experiencing the grace of God, what God has done for you. What's the next important word? Gratitude. That's what will make you give your life to Him. Gratitude. Everybody read this. The attitude of appreciation and thankfulness for the good and the benefits we have received. Gratitude will lead to action. I am grateful for what God has done for me. And because I am grateful for what He has done for me, what do I do in chapter 12, verse 1? I offer my body as a living sacrifice, and I also offer my mind. You see, your whole body involves the mind. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Everybody read this together. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, good, acceptable, perfect. To give your bodies to the Lord, the Bible says, number one, do not be conformed to this world. What does that mean? Grammatically, it's in the passive voice. Do not be conformed. It's in the present tense. So literally, let me translate for you. Stop copying the world. That's the meaning. Stop copying the world. What does it mean? Don't copy the world. Don't copy the values of the world. For example, do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We are commanded to not love the world. What is in the world? Well, the Bible explains. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. So it is dealing with values. So what do I mean? Do not love the world, the lust of the flesh. Notice something? It has to do with sex. Thus, the ways of the world, when it comes to sex, is different. Many people are copying the ways of the world. Nothing wrong with sex. God invented sex. Sex is wonderful, but Satan has corrupted sex. So we are now copying the ways the world think of sex. Why do you think there's so many unwanted pregnancy? Why do you think the premarital sex is so rampant? Why do you think adultery is so rampant? Why is sexual confusion so rampant today? It's very simple. The ways of the world. Satan corrupts whatever God made. God made sex beautiful. We corrupted it. So do not copy the ways of the world when it comes to sex. And what is the next word? Lust of the eyes. What is the lust of the eyes? It's greed. Do you know many people really believe in advertising? They feel the secret to happiness is more and more and more. What's the truth? Money won't make you happy. A nice pair of bags. Imagine if I bought expensive bag. How will it go now? I'll be protecting it. My friend, think about this. Don't copy the ways of the world. If you are being deceived into buying expensive stuff, you need to think through. Ask yourself, why am I buying this? You see, you are copying the world without knowing it. Now, let me repeat, I'm not against nice stuff, but you better ask the Lord, is that how you want to spend your money? My friend, what am I saying? If you experience the grace of God, you'll have gratitude. And when you have gratitude, you will give your body, you will give your life, and your mind has to be transformed. You know why? Until the mind is renewed, you cannot be transformed. And how can you renew your mind? Ladies and gentlemen, what am I holding? The Bible. If you don't know the Bible, you don't know truth, how can you be renewed? Now, how many of you read the Bible regularly, every day? Raise your hand. Higher, higher, higher. I have X-ray vision. Why do I keep asking you? I want you to know how you have been deceived. In your heart, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Yes or no? Now, my friend, look at me. If the Bible is the Word of God, it has promises, why not read it? Start with your mind. You got to renew your mind. So you need to know truth. Be renewed by your mind. That's why you need to study the Bible. Next, the Bible is not enough. You need the Spirit of God to make the Word of God real in your life. Let me repeat, the Word of God plus the Spirit of God over time will transform you. Many of you may be studying the Bible, but you don't have the Holy Spirit. I do not know. Some of you, you have the Holy Spirit, but you don't read the Bible. How can you grow? So you need both. Are we clear? All right, let's read that verse one more time. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't copy the values of this world. Stop copying them. Be transformed. Be changed. Be metamorphosized by the renewing of your mind. It all begins with the mind. For what purpose? So that you may prove what the will of God is. It is good, acceptable, perfect. Notice the word prove. So that you will experience the will of God. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants you to experience His best. What is the will of God? Good, acceptable, and perfect. But how do you experience this? Surrender. The Bible says, Romans 12:1, surrender your bodies to God living and holy sacrifice. To surrender means what? You give your all. No longer I, but Christ. Lord, you take over my life. Have you come to a point in your life where you have surrendered everything? My friend, God loves you. What's preventing you from surrendering your all to Him? What's stopping you? You need to know who God is. And then the Bible tells us, if you give your all to Him, you need to know the gift of God. What is the gift of God? You know, the gift of God is very simple. Let's read the next verse. God has given us not just salvation. He has given you abilities to serve Him and to love Him. Look at this verse. God has given us grace, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. It has to do with the mind. Don't think you are no good. Don't think you are over good. Don't be proud. Everything is from God, but don't underestimate yourself also. Think properly. Everything is from God. But to think as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each man a measure of faith. Even faith is a gift from God. So God has given you faith. He has given you grace. What else? Read the next verse. God has given us, as we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function. We who are many are one body in Christ, individually members one of another. God has given us one another. The gift of God includes a community. God has gifted you community abilities. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Each of us is to exercise them accordingly. We have different gifts, different abilities. As each one has received a special gift, you must employ that in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Each one of us has a special gift. Then, First Peter mentioned, what are some of those gifts? Example, if you are good in speaking, you speak. If you are good in teaching, you teach. This is the reality of life. Only one life. It will soon be gone. Only what's done for Jesus will last. Let me repeat, you have only one life. You must as well use it. That will outlast you. Now, what will you offer to God? You know, many times we think of time. You can give your time to the Lord, your talent, your treasure, your influence. I praise God for many of you. All of you are serving the Lord. But can I add something that most of you don't think of? Your trials. Many of us don't realize you can offer your problems, your disappointments, even your failures to the Lord. God can make something bad into something good if you respond properly. You see, the quality of your life is not determined by what happens to you, good or bad. The quality of your life is determined by how you respond to what happens to you. And one of my favorite heroes is this girl who was a champion in surfing. But a shark got her arm. She lost her arm. Bethany Hamilton is the Hawaiian surfing champion years ago when she was a teenager. But you know, instead of feeling sorry for herself, instead of blaming God, why did you allow a shark to attack me? Why? You know what was her attitude? Lord, I'm going to use this tragedy to glorify your name, to do something good. In fact, she told her father, if I can no longer be competitive in surfing because I lost an arm, can I try soccer? Because soccer, you don't need hand. Look at her attitude. She wants to do something to make a contribution. Instead of feeling sorry for what she does not have, she looks at what does she have to be a blessing. You know what you have? You have experiences. You have heartaches. You have problems. Whatever it is, God can use it. Amen? Now, to inspire you, you can serve God in any capacity. One of my inspirations is but you know what happened to Bethany? She's happily married today with three wonderful children, okay? God is amazing. She's an inspirational speaker. She never felt sorry for herself. Now, one of our favorite heroes in this Olympic game in Paris. It is an amazing girl. Her name is Sydney LeBron. She is the one who broke the world record for a 400-meter hurdle. She is a committed follower of Jesus. She's using her platform to glorify God. You see, you can do whatever you have to serve God, problems or success. Look at what she said about Jesus. Let's read this together. I no longer run for self-recognition, but to reflect His perfect will that is already set in stone. I don't deserve anything, but by grace, through faith, Jesus has given me everything. Records come and go. The glory of God is what? Eternal. Amen? Praise God. That is why I want you to pray this prayer. This is the prayer. Make me a servant, humble and meek. And that's what we will sing today at the end of the service. We're going to make this our prayer. Everybody, what is this prayer? Make me a servant, humble and meek. I want you to read this together as we close. Together, okay? One of the most, I would say, effective missionary of all time, John Wesley. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Amen? Praise God. So, as we sing the last song, the choir will be coming up. Would you like to serve people? I know all of you do. Because God made us to serve. But you don't know how. Begin. Join a small group. And do things that most people cannot do. For example, there are so many organizations all over the world to help the poor, to help people physically. I want you to go beyond that. Let us help people, not just physically. Do something to help them spiritually. And that's the uniqueness of CCF. Whatever we do, we can help the poor, but we connect them to Jesus. Amen? You do something that most organizations cannot do. Introduce them to Jesus. Are you ready to sing the last song? Are you ready to make that your prayer? If God has spoken to you, you want to surrender your life to Jesus. You want to experience His grace. As we bow our heads, I want you to pray with me. Let's bow our heads. And you want to make a commitment to the Lord. You want God to change your heart. You want to experience His grace, His forgiveness. Will you quietly raise your hand wherever you are? Praise God. Higher, higher. I want to pray for you. God has spoken to you. Raise your hands. Okay, keep your hands up there. And then you pray this prayer with me, okay? This is a prayer of humility. It's asking God to change your heart. Pray this with me wherever you are. Lord Jesus, I admit I've been selfish. I admit I need you. Today, I invite you to be my master, to be my Lord. I surrender to you my all. Because of your grace, out of my gratitude, I give you my life. Take it. Use it for your glory. Change my heart. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.